Linda Frank was born in Montreal, now lives in Hamilton. She's a retired professor from Mohawk College, has written 3 books of poetry, Cobalt Moon Embrace, Insomni Blues, and Kahlo, The World Split Open, which was shortlisted for the Pat Lowther Award. She's a past winner of the Bliss Carman Poetry Award and has been shortlisted by the National Magazine for their awards as well. Her new book of poetry is titled Divided and was launched by Wolsack and Wynne in the spring of 2018. Linda Frank looks deeply into humanity's interactions with the animal world and our fascination and fear of nature, as well as our exploitation of all species. These poems catalog not only the beautiful and sometimes deadly complexity of our natural world, but they investigate the ways we have sought to understand it. She also highlights the struggle of women scientists to push past misogyny. This is a collection written with a botanist's eye and a scientist's attention to cause and effect, both a lament and a book that praises a world that is vanishing.
So I want to thank you guys for having me back at Lit Live. I was thinking this afternoon that I think that I read at the very, very first Lit Live that was ever held in Hamilton. I think I read with Richard Harrison, I think, that night. That's a long time ago. So it's great to, you know, it's changed venues so many times, so it's really great to be back. So I'm going to just read 2 poems to close the evening. One of them is a little bit longer, not terribly long, it won't kill you. And I'm going to start, what a long poem. It's in little sections, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to just tell you a little bit about it, and it might help, because you can't see it, and you have to take it in through your ears. So this is a poem about a woman illustrator, maybe a woman who we would say made some of the very first contributions to entomology, and her name is Maria Sibylla Merian. And she lived between 1647 and she died, I think, in 1717. So she was born in Germany, died in Amsterdam. And she, at a very young age, her stepfather taught her how to paint, and so she began to paint flowers. And at a very young age, she started to notice the insects that were on flowers, particularly caterpillars. And so she began to illustrate them. You have to sort of put the poem will put it in context for you, but this is at a time when science was in a very, in a different place than it is today. And it was at a time when women didn't paint, women didn't do a lot of things. She actually left her family and pursued her desire to know more about these insects and illustrate them, and went to Suriname. And that's another thing that, you know, women certainly didn't do in the 1600s. One of the reasons she went, of course, was also to collect specimens that she could come home and sell, and that would sort of fund her work. I found out about her because I was doing some research on Nabokov, and he said in his memoir that as a very young boy, it was a book of hers, paintings of hers that he found in the attic in his parents' house that started him on his lifelong, you know, passion for butterflies. So I started looking her up. And that's enough. I'll read the poem. Maria Sibylla Merian brings a brandied crocodile to tea. A crocodile no bigger than a large insect. Snakes, iguanas, and geckos. Creatures floating in jars of brandy to sell as curiosities in the salons of the rich. She travels alone under the protection of the captain. The sailors think it bad luck to look at her, though they drink her brandy, toss her specimens into the sea. It begins with silkworms. By 13, she's etched 50 copper plates of caterpillars. No European has yet to document their metamorphosis. The church preaches all life begins with creation, and scholars believe insects come from the spontaneous generation of rotting mud. Science is a man's game. What woman is interested in bugs? Insects are the beasts of the devil, and witch fever just ended in Germany. Painting and drawing not taught to girls either. Dead butterflies pinned and preserved grow dusty in collectors' wooden drawers and cabinets. What plants had they fed on? Which caterpillars turned into glossy moths? How to interpret an insect that trades its home on earth for one in the air? She gathers caterpillars from her own garden and public parks, studies the life cycles of the daytime butterflies and the nighttime moths, draws the details of their chrysalises and the plants they feed on. How to understand the flapping wings, the trajectory of their lives, the flight of her own thoughts. 13 years after Galileo's trial, before Darwin, before Audubon, before the word entomology, Shakespeare, dead just 30 years. She's 52 when she leaves her husband in Germany to sail to the New World on a voyage of science. Suriname, on the edge of the rainforest. Everything is strange here. The smell of boiling cane juice, swamp mud, guava, biting ants, the air thick with mosquitoes, the flick of a black tail in the jungle, flaming coral adders slip through the bush at her feet, her skirts stick to roots, her hair snags on branches, the trees shoot skyward, blue and yellow macaws like bits of sunlight struggling through thick dangling vines. Heat pounds. There's fever and disease, and sometimes she is frightened to breathe. She collects every day, inspects the underside of leaves, peers down the long throats of strange white flowers, searching for caterpillars. Moths with the wingspan of a small bird, bright blue lizards, pearly iridescent eggs. And she paints. Plants and caterpillars, once centered and balanced in watercolors on vellum, now spill out the sides of rough canvas. Her reds from seeds she soaks in seawater, her blacks from a fruit she presses, then dries in the sun. The pale wood-colored chrysalis, the butterfly of polished silver, the morpho with wings like peacock feathers resting on the roseate flower of a bursting pomegranate. In the grip of yellow fever, she almost pays with her life. Her financial future depends on silk cocoons and dead geckos. Midwinter in Amsterdam. Caterpillars are bound in their cocoons waiting for the thaw. To live as an adult, a whole new body is needed. Inside the squirming larva, a precise origami of folding and creasing, a hormonal rising and falling until it stills like death, an immobile puppet awaiting animation. Cells divide, cells die. The pupil will crack, break open. An entire body will appear where once there was none. Butterfly, psyche, breath, soul. Under the snow, turtles and frogs are buried in mud. Larva overwinter under leaves, and dragonflies sleep under winter ice. Something inside her breaks, gives in. She closes her eyes. A new birth, a hatching, a freeing of breath. Okay, so I'm going to just read one more poem, and we'll call it a night. This one's called Where the Sidewalk Ends. She plays in fields left unruly, green and ripe with weeping willow, buttercup, milkweed, yarrow, and tansy, before her town sprawls to suburb. When she holds very still, she can hear the plants move. She catches tadpoles and goldenrod ditches, knows the hoverflies and ladybugs, the startle of long-horned meadow grasshoppers, watches them soar, float dreamlike when they catapult from her touch to disappear deep into the tall grass. She isn't afraid to run her fingers over their hard shell and sharp wings. She doesn't recoil from the tickle of their long hind legs, or the brown juice they spit into her hands when she catches them. She wades through the small riot of yellow rocket and wild carrot to coax the grasshoppers into a jam jar, stuffs too many of them into the glass prison so that they're frantic and angry when she approaches the boy who'd looked up her baggy shorts when she sat on the curb to watch the older kids play Scully, that boy who'd pulled all the buttons off her blouse when he grabbed her. He is afraid of grasshoppers.
Thank you to John, Linda, and Lit Live for allowing us to air those readings. Thanks to CFMU 93.3, to Afternoons in Stereo for the music. I'm Jamie Tennant, host and producer. You can reach me at getlitshow@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.